With that being sung, if you'll take your Bible and turn to John chapter 19. For mercy so great, I'll love him, I'll serve him, as long as my life shall endure. The Gospel of John chapter 19, and we'll read verse 25 down through verse number 27. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother. There stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother, and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother, and the disciples standing by, whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her unto his home. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we bow before thee right now, Lord. And Lord, we thank you for your presence in our midst this morning. Lord, with every one of us that is gathered together in this place, most importantly is that you are here. Father, we know that if you and your Son and your Spirit were not here with us today, there'd be no point in assembling together. There'd be no reason. There'd be nothing. It would just be a meeting of people. But Lord, thank you that you've promised that you would be in our midst. And we know you're in our midst. And Lord, we open up your word this morning, Lord, to hear from thee. And so we thank you. And in Jesus' name, amen. I think verse 25 down through verse 27 has to be one of the most tender moments in all of history. One of the most caring moments in all of history. One of the most endearing moments in all of history. For Jesus is hanging upon the cross, suffering, dying for you and me. And he looks down from that cross and he sees his mother. And then he sees one man. One man. I can't begin to imagine what it must have been like that day, that moment in time, when the Apostle Paul is standing there. John is standing there looking up the cross, looking at the suffering Savior, looking at the Son of God dying upon that cross for his sins. And out of the whole multitude, out of all the people that have gathered around, out of everybody, Jesus looks down to this one man. Imagine if it was you. He looks down to this one man and he speaks to him. And he says to this one man, just three simple words, and yet words that mean so much. Behold thy mother. Has someone ever entrusted something to your care? Someone ever come up to you and said, could you take care of this for me for a while? I'm going away. I'll come again. But this is very precious, very important, very valuable to me. And they ask you to take responsibility for something. It's not yours, but it's theirs. And you know how much it means to them. To us, it's happened and might be something of material value. Could be something that's alive. Could be how many times has someone asked you, could you take care of my pet while I go away? Listen, don't ask me that. I'll take care of your pet. But when you come back, we probably won't be friends again. Because there's a different meaning of taking care of pets. But anyways, aside from that, but stop and I really want to just stop and think about as we begin. Here's John, a young man. A young man that stands there looking up at the cross of Jesus Christ. And Jesus looks down and says, "Woman, behold thy son." And he says to John, "Behold thy mother." And it says this, from that hour, that disciple took her into his home. You know, we read much about John and we know much of John. But from that hour, that disciple took her unto his home. There's a lot of testimonies from the cross that we just seem to skim right over. And I haven't fully gleaned this one in my own heart yet. I'm still in the process of just thinking about it. But I want to go back and look at the testimony of John. So important. We read so much about Paul. But there's another man we ought to just... It would do you well to study the life and the biography of John. There's never been a man like John. Oh, there's been men in the Bible. There's been Elijah. There's been David. There's been John the Baptist and the Apostle Paul. But if there's a life and a biography for one man we ought to really meditate upon, it's John. No one in this world was ever closest to the Lord Jesus Christ than this one here. He's the one that would write later on in 1 John. We've seen him, we've touched him, we've listened to him, we've walked with him. And he says, "We write this thing to you so you can have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship with the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy might be full." He's the one, he's the only one that God would allow the privilege of writing, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." He's the one that would write 1st and 2nd and 3rd John. He's the one that God would give the privilege and the responsibility to write down all the things that are going to take place. And here he stands at the cross, looking up at the cross, looking up at the Savior, looking up at that one that for the last 3.5 years he'd become so close to. And he hears these words, "Behold thy mother." And he takes the mother of Jesus Christ to his home to care for her, to be responsible for her. And there's so much more. This is a message that probably will just begin and affect a number of messages from this point on. But I want to go back and I want to just look at the testimony, if you will, the life testimony of John this morning. Because that song we sung, "The Mercies of God," were a theme for my song. And what shall I do? I'll love Him. I'll serve Him with all of my life. That's the testimony of John. When all the others had left the earthly scene. When Peter is gone and Paul is gone and his brother James is gone and all the others are gone, John would still be left. And he would be faithful to the end, loving and serving his Savior, Jesus Christ. And so I want to go back this morning, and I want to go back and I want to start very slowly and carefully, because I don't have much capacity to speak this morning. I want to go back to John chapter 1. John chapter 1 and look, first of all, where it began with John. And where it began with John is where it begins with every one of us. And it's when we behold the Lamb. When we behold the Lamb. If a person doesn't behold the Lamb of God, there's no beginning. There's no spiritual life. And in John chapter 1, we see where it began. Here's a young man. He's a successful man. He's a fisherman. His family were fishermen. They were very successful. It wasn't just that they had one little boat. They had more than one. They had a fleet. They had people working for them. They were very well off. They had done very well. He was a Jewish man. And as a Hebrew, as a Jewish man, his whole life, aside from business and aside from family, his whole life was wrapped up in the Scriptures and waiting for someone to come, the Messiah. One of the phrases that they were so often refer to was in Genesis 49, until Shiloh comes. Until the Messiah comes. Every year they would just say, maybe next year, maybe next year. And all of a sudden in the life of John, there's a man that has all of a sudden come out into the public view. His name is John the Baptist. And he began to preach in the wilderness, and he began to preach in Galilee. He began to preach by the Jordan River. And he began to preach and point to one person. Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And you come down to verse number 35. And it says, again the next day, after John stood, and two of his disciples. That's John right there. And John is standing there. He has stood there before, and he is following John the Baptist. But in verse number 36, it says, and looking upon Jesus. Here John the Baptist is looking upon Jesus as he walked. He saith, behold the Lamb of God. And look at verse 37. And the two disciples heard him speak. And what did they do? You know, John the Baptist didn't have to tell them what to do. They heard John the Baptist as he looked at Jesus Christ. And they heard him say, behold the Lamb of God. And the Bible says they turned. They followed Jesus. Jesus turned and saw them following and said unto them, what seek ye? And they said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? He saith unto them, come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day, for it was about the tenth hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. And this is where it began. They said, We have found the Messiah. We have found the Messiah. We have found the Lamb of God. Finally. Do you ever stop and think about the day you found Jesus Christ? You ever stop and remember that day? And you can look back and say, I found him. I found the Lamb of God. I found the Savior. I found the one that died for me. I found the one whose blood was shed for my sins. I found the one who can save me. We have found the Messiah. We have found the Messiah. You know, that changed his life. Changed everything about his life. Jesus would say these words. He'd say these words to Peter. He'd say these words to James. He'd say these words to John, follow me. But I don't think Jesus really needed to say those words. Because when they found Jesus Christ, when they found the Messiah, there was nothing else for them but to follow Jesus. When you have found Christ, when you have found the Savior, there's nothing more to search for. You've found Christ. We have nothing more to search for, folks. Think of that. That's why the Bible says we have such rest. We've found Christ. We've found the Lamb of God. We've found the Savior. And now instead of searching, there's a following. And as John began to follow Jesus Christ, he didn't follow from afar off. John says, if I'm going to follow the Messiah, if I'm going to follow Jesus Christ, I'm going to follow as close as I can. And he began to follow Jesus Christ. And you can see through the next few years of his life, not only how close John would get to the Lord Jesus Christ, but how much the Lord Jesus Christ would desire and want John to be that close. Do you understand this morning how close Jesus Christ wants you to be to him? Do you understand this morning how close of a fellowship Jesus Christ wants with you? And this is what John began to experience. And Jesus began to just reveal himself to John and strengthen his faith and draw him even closer. You go over to John chapter 2 and verse number 11. John would say in verse 14 of John chapter 1, we beheld his glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And as John and a few of the other disciples at this time began to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, we come to John chapter 2, and I'm not going to go into all the details, but they're with Jesus Christ, and at the wedding where Jesus would turn the water to wine. And look at verse number 11. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory. And his disciples believed on him there. Believed on him. And as Jesus did that miracle, he showed his glory. But the Bible says one of the significant purposes of him manifesting his glory was to strengthen this new faith that John had. The Bible says the disciples, his disciples, not just the, his disciples believed on him. And Jesus began to strengthen the faith of John. And as we walk with the Lord and as we walk closer to the Lord, the Lord is going to show us things in our life and through our life. And his purpose is to deepen the relationship, but also to strengthen our faith in him. And he began to walk close with the Lord Jesus Christ. You go over to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 5. There are many times in the Gospels where Jesus would be in a multitude, where Jesus would be in the midst of many people. There were many times where Jesus would be speaking and teach his disciples. But there were also times when Jesus would take three disciples, Peter, James, and John, and draw them closer to himself, apart from everybody else, in a special moment when Jesus was just really drawing them closer and strengthening their faith. You go to Mark chapter 5 and verse number 35. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, "Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest the master any further?" As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, "Be not afraid, only believe." And he suffered her, or he allowed no man to follow him. Imagine that. Jesus is about to do a miracle. You would think that Jesus would want the whole multitude to see. But he says, I don't want anybody, no one else is allowed to come in. No one else but Peter, James, and John. He suffered no man to follow save Peter and James and John, the brother James. And he cometh to the house. Well, we'll just go on. But it was a special time. It was a close time. And Jesus is looking at these three, Peter, James, and John, and he says to them, "You three." John was one of them. "John, you come with me." What a special moment that was. You go over to Mark chapter 8, because all the while Jesus is manifesting his glory and just strengthening the faith of these men. In Mark chapter 8, we see it again. In verse number 31, and he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. And he spake that saying openly, and Peter took him and began to rebuke him. Jesus is teaching the disciples what he's going to do and how he's going to suffer and how he's going to die. And you could just imagine the disciples, they're no different than you and I. "No, Lord, no, it can't be. Can't be." And what does Jesus do? You go to Mark chapter 9. And he said, and verily I say unto you, that there be some of them that stand here which shall not taste of death till they have seen the kingdom of God come with power. And after 6 days, Jesus takes with him Peter, James, and John, and leadeth them up to a high mountain apart by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. And what does Jesus do again? He takes these three men, and John, the one we're looking at this morning, and he says, I know you're struggling with this whole thing of me suffering and dying. He says, but let me strengthen your faith. And he takes them up to that mountain. No one else allowed to come. And he takes them up to that mountain. And he's transfigured and he shows them all his glory once again. You go to Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. And we're just rapidly moving through the testimony of John. But now we come to right before the crucifixion. And we read about the Last Supper that Jesus would have with his disciples. But I want you to notice something. Verse number 7. All of these things, folks, all of these things bear upon the heart and the life of John. As he got closer and closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 7, then came the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed. And he sent Peter and John, saying, go and prepare us the Passover, that we may be eat. Have you ever stopped and thought about that? You have 12 disciples. Peter, James, and John are the closest. And yet, you would think from our perspective, from our thought, from our way of doing things, is the way we would plan it. Well, if they're the closest, I'm certainly not going to send them off to buy the things and get ready to Passover. I'm going to keep them close. But Jesus is working in John's life. And you gotta think, you gotta believe that as John would look back on his life, every one of these moments would be precious. I've seen the Lamb of God. I've been allowed to spend so much time with the Lamb of God. I've been privileged to enter into special places that no one else could go with the Lamb of God. I've been privileged to go up on the mount and see Jesus Christ, the Lamb, in all his glory. And now, Jesus says, we're going to get ready. We're going to have Passover. We're going to have the Last Supper. And you and I might have thought, man, I don't want to have to go down Walmart. I want to stay here. I don't think that was the thought at all of John. Jesus would say to Peter and John, go and prepare us the Passover that we may eat. And I believe they were just thrilled with the privilege of doing something once again for the Lamb of God, for Jesus Christ. And the first thing we see are the first segment that I divided this up is that when we behold the Lamb, how does it change our life? How has it really changed our life? Has it changed our life? Because when you truly behold the Lamb, your life can't be the same. If you say you've met Jesus Christ, and your life hasn't changed, you've not met him. You've not met him. These men, their lives changed. Their lives were different. And you can't be the same when you have truly met the Lamb of God. You can't be the same. Because if you are, where is the power of the Lamb? If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. He is a new creature. And John saw the Lamb of God change his life. But now, I want you to come to John chapter 13. Because the second thing John would grow to know as he just was drawn closer to the Lord Jesus Christ is something that many times, pastors are criticized about. How many times have pastors been criticized for emphasizing and stressing and saying that they're overemphasizing the love of God and the love of Christ? You can't overemphasize the love of God and the love of Christ. You can't overemphasize it. Because you know what? When you look at the testimony of the man that was closest to the Lord Jesus Christ, one man named John, the first thing is he beheld the Lamb. The second thing is every day of his life, he beheld the love. He saw the love of Christ. He saw the love of Christ. You stop and consider in John chapter 13. Now, here we have Jesus at the Last Supper with the Lord, or Jesus at the Last Supper with the disciples. In chapter 13 and verse number 1, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And I'm not going to go through the purpose. I want you to go down to verse number 23. The purpose in all this, I want you to see as John drew so close to the Lord, you know what he experienced most of all? Is the love of the Lamb, the love of the Lamb, the love of Christ. Listen, the closer you draw to Jesus Christ, the more you will know his love for you. His love for you. So many times, I want to know his power. I want to know his love. And look what it says in verse 23. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. Whom Jesus loved. And here in the next group of verses, we're just going to see that. Whom Jesus loved. Think about that. Recorded in the Bible. And we know Jesus loved the whole world. We know he loved Peter, James, and the others. We know that. But for it to be said of one man whom Jesus loved. And I want you to see the difference it makes. The difference it makes. Go to excuse me. Go to Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14. Because we're moving through the testimony of John as it relates to Jesus Christ. And he beheld the Lamb. Second of all, he beheld the love of Christ. And Jesus Christ allowed John to be in certain moments in a place close to him that others were not allowed to. And here we see it again. In Mark chapter 14, I want you to notice something. Verse 53. They led Jesus away to the high priest. And now Jesus has been betrayed. He's been arrested. He's being brought before the high priest. And all that will take place where he will be judged, mocked, spit upon. Just all these things. So many times we focus on Peter outside. Peter denying the Lord. But there's another whole aspect of this. Look at Mark chapter 14 and verse number 53. And they led Jesus away to the high priest, and with him were assembled all the chief priests and the elders and scribes. And Peter followed him afar off, even unto the palace of the high priest. And he sat with his servants and warmed himself at the fire. But go to John chapter 18. I'm not going to take time to go through all of that whole circumstance there, because the point I want to make is found in John chapter 18. Verse 12. Then the band and the captain and the officers of the Jews took Jesus and bound him and led him away to Annas first, for he was father-in-law to Caiaphas, which was the high priest that same year. Now Caiaphas was he which gave counsel to the Jews that it was expedient that one man should die for the people. Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. And this disciple is John. That disciple was known unto the high priest. And look at verse 15. Went in with Jesus into the palace of the high priest. But Peter stood at the door without. My point I want to make is that John was so close to the Lord Jesus Christ that in the most difficult moments in the life of Jesus as he's going to the cross, out of all the other men, John's the one that's there. And I don't want to take time to go into John's background, how it was that he would have the privilege and, because he was Jewish and because of who he was and everything. But it says in verse number 15, in the latter part, that disciple went in with Jesus into the palace of the high priest. Peter's out there. The others have fled. And one man, John, is there with Jesus when Jesus stands before Caiaphas, when he is mocked, when he is scourged, when all those things take place. And then you come to the cross, back to our text, John chapter 19. And now he stands there at the cross. Verse 25. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by, boy, I tell you what, those, no other disciple gets those words written about him. No other man in history gets those words written about him. When Jesus saw that disciple standing by, whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son, and saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her unto his home. You imagine what it was like in that hour? You imagine what it was like for John? Jesus Christ has looked down from the cross and said about his earthly mother. He said to John, he says, "Behold thy mother." And John is the one that would take most tenderly the mother of Jesus home that day from the cross where she had seen her son die upon that cross and take her into his home. Just stop and think about what that was like. All the other disciples, they're mourning for the Lord Jesus Christ and the other ladies and everything else. And here's Johnny. He has his own life, his only relation, his own relationship with Jesus, his own thoughts, his own concerns. And at that moment, Jesus said, "John, would you please care and love and take care of my mother?" And he took her to his home. And that night, she was in his home. That next morning, she is in his home. That next day, she is in his home. And the next night, the next day. And here's this one man in his home. The Lamb of God has died on the cross. And in his care is the mother of Jesus. You know why? Because that one word, love. That one word, love. We love him because he first loved us. We love him because he first loved us. And the second thing we see in the life of John is the love of Christ, the love of Christ. And I know I could go on for another hour of that, 2 hours, 3 hours. The love of Christ, the love of Christ. But praise God for one more thing that he saw. He beheld the Lamb of God. He beheld the love of Christ. But in John chapter 1, not John chapter 1, John chapter 20. Well, actually, I'm John chapter 20 and beyond. He would behold the Lord. The Lord. Aren't you thankful this morning that the Lamb of God didn't stay on the cross? Aren't you thankful this morning that the Lamb of God is alive today on the right hand of God? Look at John chapter 20 because it leads right into it. And look how it's written. And it's written by John. And here's what, you know, it's so personal. It's so personal. And the thing that John keeps stressing is he loved me. He loved me. He loved me. He loved me. Just like the Apostle Paul would say the same thing. He loved me. He gave himself for me. And as we come down to this point in time, the other disciple, the other, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they write of all these different things about Christ, about Jesus Christ, about the cross, and all of them true and all of them right. But the one overwhelming thing that John couldn't get over was this, that one that hung on that cross for my sins, he loved me. He loved me. Look what he says in John chapter 20 as he's now relates of when he first came to realize and understand that the Lamb of God had risen from the grave and was Lord over all. In John chapter 20, "The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, seeth a stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth, and cometh to Simon Peter, and look at how he writes it, and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved." and saith unto him, They've taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they both ran together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter. It wasn't a matter of pride. It wasn't a matter of who's the fastest. It's a matter of this. That disciple whom Jesus loved, John said, if there's something there, if there's something there, I'm not going to let anybody get there before me. But then he comes to the tomb. So they ran both together. And the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down, looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. And he comes to the tomb and he stoops down and he looks in, but he stops. Now Peter, and I'm not knocking Peter by any means, but Peter comes, Simon Peter comes, verse 6. Peter goes right in. Went into the sepulchre, see the linen clothes, lying the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. I think John was just, I don't know. But I think the bond of love was so great and so precious that John was so careful in his heart, not in his actions, but his heart. This is the tomb of my Savior. This is the tomb of Jesus. I can't just rush in. I can't just throw myself. I can't. But then look it. Then went in also that other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. And he, at that moment, he understood and believed and knew that the Lamb that loved him lived, that he was alive. But now look it. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. And the next verse says so little and yet says so much. Then the disciple went away. The disciples went away again unto their own home. The Bible doesn't include any details. But let me ask you a question. When John went back to his own home, who was there? Who was there? Stop and think about it. Who was there? The mother of Jesus was there. John had taken her from the cross, from seeing her son die on the cross, from seeing the Savior die on the cross, took her to his own home. Now it says, the disciple went away again to their own home. And John beheld not only the Lamb, not only love, but the Lord. But I want to bring you to John chapter 21. John chapter 21. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And on this wise he showed himself. They were together Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee. And John says, that's me. And two of others of his disciples. Simon Peter said unto him, I go fishing. They said unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. And then Jesus said unto them, children, have you any meat? And they answered him, no. And he said to them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it out for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple, check this out, that disciple whom Jesus loved, saith unto Peter, it's the Lord. Who but John recognized who it was? He said, it's the Lord. And when Simon Peter heard that it was Lord, he just jumps out of the ship, casts himself in the sea. The other disciples come in the little ship, and they come, and Jesus said in verse number 12, come and die. Come and die. But who was it? All those disciples out in the boat, and Jesus speaks to them, and the one whom Jesus loved, John, said, it's the Lord. It's the Lord. And you know, the testimony of John is this. He beheld the Lamb. He beheld the love. He beheld the Lord. But it doesn't stop there. It doesn't stop there. His testimony would go on for the longest of all the men that we read about in the Bible. And it continues on in John chapter 21. In John chapter 21, Jesus would speak to Peter. And once again, we focused so much on Peter, because Jesus would turn to Peter and say, Simon, lovest thou me? And we go on to that. But if you would, come down to verse number 20. Because even here we focus on Peter. Verse 20, Peter turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following. You know, Peter didn't say of James, hey, what about James or what about Thomas? He looks at the closest disciple to the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus has spoken to Peter and told him by what death he would glorify the Lord. And Peter turns and looks at John, that disciple whom Jesus loved. And he says, Lord, what about John? And I know, Jesus said to him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow me. And the Lord said to Peter, what I have for his life is his life. You need to follow me. But in the midst of that, Jesus said something about John. He said, if I will that he tarry till I come. If I will that he tarry till I come. Verse 23. Then went the saying abroad among the brethren that at this disciple should not die. And Jesus said not unto him, he shall not die. Jesus didn't say that. But he said this, if I will that he tarry till I come. Jesus said, if I will, if it's my purpose, that he should live until I come. Jesus fulfilled that. It would take years. Years. Life would go on. Paul would preach the gospel. Paul would start a church in Ephesus. And at one point in time, John would pastor that church. The mother of Jesus, historians say, would be with John in Ephesus, in that church. And then one day, when Paul is with the Lord, Peter is with the Lord, James is with the Lord, everybody else with the Lord, there's a man that he's reached the fullness of his age. And he stands alone on an island called Patmos. He's cast away on this island for the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. You'd be given the privilege of writing the testimony of Jesus Christ and of things that were, things that are, and things to come. And he would say this, he says, I, John, being your brother in tribulation, he says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And he said, I was communing in the Spirit on the day when my Savior rose again from the grave. And you would say, I heard a sound, a voice, as of the sound of the trumpet. And he says, I turned to look. Without going to that passage of Scripture, he turned to look, and the Bible says, he saw one like unto the Son of Man in all of his glory. And Jesus Christ would appear to John. And then Jesus Christ would tell John, I want you to write. I want you to write. And I'm not going to go into that this morning. But from this, I want you to think about what John would write. But anyways, John would write. He'd first write to the seven churches. And then he'd write about the splendor of glory. He'd write about the Lamb of God standing in the presence of God. He'd write about the things to come. He'd write all the way to Revelation 22, where Jesus would say, Behold, I come quickly. And he would pen these words, Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. And he would pen the last words of the Word of God. But as John would begin to write that book, as John would begin to write that book of Revelation, here's what I want you to walk away with this morning. As begins to unfold that book for us. And we so much want to know all the details of all the things to come. If there's one thing we should catch from the book of Revelation, is these words that John wrote. Unto him that loved us. Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Unto him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Unto him that loved us. The one that would know the precious and personal and powerful love of the Lamb of God. Probably more than any individual that walked with Jesus Christ. The one that Jesus Christ said, that disciple whom I loved. As he begins to pen that final book of Scripture, he says, unto him that loved us. How much do you love Jesus Christ this morning? How much do we really love him? Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. What a testimony. What a testimony of that one disciple whom Jesus said, that disciple whom I loved, that all those years later would stand all by himself, all alone in a deserted island, and say unto him that loved us and washed us from his sin, from our sins in his own blood. Unto him be glory. Glory. How much do you love Jesus this morning? How much dominion have you given him in your life? How much glory do you want him to have through you this morning? Because he loved you. Living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. Rising again, he justified. Freely forgiven. The mercies of God, what a theme for my song. I'll love him. I'll serve him. As long as my life shall endure. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you. Father, our hearts, Lord, I pray our hearts are overwhelmed this morning with how much you loved us, how much your Son, our Savior, loved us. Lord, what can we say? But he loved me. He loved me. And as the hymn writer said, I'll love him, I'll serve him, as long as my life shall endure. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.